As we wrap up 2025, one thing's clear. Uncertainty isn't temporary. It's the world we live in now. Noble Gold Investments helps Americans protect what they've built with real gold and silver, holding value when everything else feels uncertain. Visit NobleGoldInvestments.com and take your first step toward a safe future. This holiday season, when you open up a qualified account, you'll receive 10 one-ounce commemorative silver holiday coins. Visit Noble Gold today.
Past performance may not be indicative of future results. Investing in precious metals, including gold, involves risks. Consult with your tax attorney or financial professional before making an investment decision.
Hey, what's up, y'all? Kelly Clarkson with Wayfair. My favorite thing about the holidays? Decking out my whole house. It's not a competition, but if it was, well, I'd win the season with Wayfair. Outdoor inflatable Santa? Got it on Wayfair. Trees, lights, and ornaments? Wayfair. Hosting must-haves like dining sets, beds, sheets, and towels? Wayfair. For everything in your style delivered with fast and free shipping, visit Wayfair.com or the Wayfair app to win the season. But again, it's not a competition.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
This is Pucks and Seven with Ryan Payton and Victoria Matiash.
I think it's only significant and pertinent that we begin the show with a bit of a Blue Jays quick update, because number one, you're wearing a lovely shirt. It is orange in color, but it's got the Blue Jays logo.
This has been Pucks and Seven, available on the SiriusXM app and wherever you get your podcasts.
And this whole country. So that's our baseball talk for this show.
It is our baseball talk for in the country of Canada. We do have American listeners, so we should.
We do.
But I know a lot of American listeners who support the Blue Jays as well, simply because they don't like the opposition that they're facing. Right. And everybody wants the Dodgers to lose. So there's that as well. So if the Jays
have the best shot, unfortunately. Yeah.
But it was nice for them to claw back in that series for sure, because it wasn't looking too sweet for a while there.
Yeah, and whether it's baseball or hockey, you don't want to see a team go up 3-0. You want to see a series. You just want to see the competitiveness between
the
two teams.
Well, unless it's my team. My team can go up 3-0.
I understand, but then you go the other team like, I don't want to get swept and all that stuff.
Right, anyway, right.
Good on you, baseball. Four great teams left, so we'll see where that goes. I think the World Series starts in 8 days. Something like that. It's over a week. Okay. Coming up on the show, Pucks and Seven, Ryan Payne, Victoria Matiash, brought to you by Rogue Sports. We're going to talk Philadelphia Flyers, and we're going to do so with Siobhan Nolan. She covers the Flyers for the Hockey News. So we'll dive into kind of the expectations with that team. They got some youngsters. They got some really good players. I love Michkov. I love him. Loved him from day one. Still love him now. A new coach behind the bench. So we'll get into that with her. We'll go 77 seconds in as well with Siobhan. And we'll also dive into just quickly too at the end of this segment with you and I, the tremendous Ken Dryden tribute, because only Montreal just does things differently.
They figured it out a long time ago, and they've never messed it up since.
They sure did. That was a beautiful moment. So we'll dive into that. We'll talk Utah. We'll talk Vancouver. We'll talk Dallas and a lot more. But let's begin with the top three in the Atlantic Division, Vic. And I was looking at these standings, and let's just kind of review. And hold on. So three up to one. In third spot in that Atlantic, is it Toronto, Florida? Montreal. Second spot, Boston, leading the division in points, well, tied in points, I guess, with the Boston Bruins and the Canadiens. All 3-1 are Detroit. I'm not going to say I'm surprised at this, because of the injuries to the Panthers, the new additions in Toronto, maybe just these other big clubs. I'm not surprised because Montreal is and one of the more exciting teams right now in hockey, and I think this starts great. Boston, a little bit surprised. My point is, I'm not surprised early on after four games that we don't have Tampa, Toronto, and Florida in the top three.
And it's also a logjam as well. If you just look a little bit further down the lineup, there's actually teams that are tied with the same number of points, but they played the extra game, what have you. It's interesting to me because when I look at the strength of competition, and you know I'm bigger on that than maybe everybody
You're big on that. Yeah.
But if you look at actually the teams that they have played, it has been a bit of an easy ride for Boston. It's the only team that has really impressed me so far is Detroit, because they actually did come out pretty strong against the Maple Leafs.
What about Montreal? Is because of the competition too? They haven't impressed
you as
much? I've
been really impressed with some parts of their game.
Okay. But Detroit is the team that's most impressive for you in the top three.
You beat the Leafs back-to-back.
You don't usually do that.
It's a superior team. And then the way that they handled Florida the other night, I was impressed with that as well. But what sticks out for me the most right now with the Detroit Red Wings So much for the John Gibson era.
Yeah, I know.
Like, that lasted 5 minutes.
I know.
And he gave up 5 goals in the opener, and we haven't seen him since.
That's...
And the net has belonged to Cam Talbot. So that's why I also, I'm wondering aloud how long this run of success is going to last, because we know who Cam Talbot is, at times a very good goaltender, and at times not at all. So... Unless John Gibson gets back on the horse, which I think they need to get him to do pretty quickly.
I agree.
It's interesting.
How many times did we say, and I think you and I both agree with this for years now, that if you ever get into some of these preseason prediction groups, and one of the preseason prediction topics is biggest name to be traded. I didn't know what to put this year because I've just repeated it. Wash, rinse, repeat with John Gibson forever. Mm-hmm. I've been wanting that guy out of Anaheim forever, but I'm with you with that. So two things with that. Number one, remember when Detroit lost their first game? They looked terrible. Todd McClellan called out the entire team. And that was just one game. So one game in, you were calling everybody out saying, we practiced this stuff for 3 weeks. What is the point of training camp? You guys sucked. That's pretty much what he was saying. So that's one thing. And the second thing is, number one, the response for Detroit's been great. But the second thing is, and I've maintained this and I'll say this, and I know you agree, you cannot get and lock down a playoff spot in October, but you can certainly put yourself behind the eight ball. So the strength of schedule, that's fine. If you're not playing really competitive teams, you bank these points. You bank those two against so-and-so.
That's what Boston's doing now.
Right.
They're taking advantage
of
a weaker competition. You can't fault them for it. You can only play who's across the ice from you.
Exactly.
I agree with that. I still like to read a little bit into it. That's all.
Yeah, no, fair enough. And is this going to change? More than likely, yes, it will.
Well, probably in a couple of days. It's just fun to talk about right now, right?
After
because
the
this
weekend,
is not,
it's going to...
Detroit, Boston, Montreal is not how any of us had it drawn up.
After the weekend,
nobody.
It's going to be Tampa, Toronto, Florida, or somewhere in those three. Then the mesh of those three, they're going to end up being in there. But yeah, I like it. I'm a huge fan of Montreal, Boston. I don't think is sustainable, and I don't know if anything is sustainable with these three teams, to be honest. But at the end of the day, let's ride this thing while we can. At this point, moving on past the Atlantic Division. Speaking of that division, the Tkachuk brothers are out. We know what certainly Matthew's been doing, and he had surgery, and he's out till at least December. I think maybe after, who knows? Boy, everybody on that team, Vic, is injured. Crazy. But now...
Yeah, Forsling the other night too, but this is big for the Senators.
Yeah, and Kulikov having the surgery now, so he's out for the floor. So now, though, the big news is, out of Ottawa, Brady Tkachuk is out with an injury, and boy, if you want to take Brady and put him out of Ottawa... It's a bit of a different story than taking Matthew and taking him out of Florida. The teams are different.
Well, you're sucking the heart and soul and spine and brain and everything just away from that team. Like, he's the what's all the expressions? The straw that stirs the drink, the engine that keeps
the conductor,
boat floating, whatever.
Yeah.
All that. He is all of those things.
Yeah.
And he's also their best forward, right?
Yeah.
Second best forward, but he's the guy that you want to have out there. And just watching the response to this, because I guess they're seeking a second opinion. It sounds like he's out with the hand injury for 4 weeks minimum, but if he needs to have surgery, it could be much longer than that. And that's going to throw a whole bunch up in the air. But the response from the rest of the Senators, not good. Not good at all.
Mm-hmm.
And last night, we can say that this is Thursday, October the 16th. Mm-hmm. Last night, they got absolutely obliterated by who? Okay.
Yeah.
And Travis Green, after that game, said it didn't feel like an 8-4 loss.
No.
I don't know what he was watching because I watched a good chunk
of that
game.
Maybe he thought it was a
7-4
loss.
And that was a very legitimate 8-4 loss. The young goalie, I know the Marilyna kid, he had a rough night. Okay.
Yeah.
That's
great.
It's going to be better for him. Bad night, some bad bounces. The defense was incredibly sloppy. Team defense was incredibly sloppy.
Mm-hmm.
So this Ottawa Senators is much better than what they looked like against the Sabres. And they need to pull their socks up, and they need to do it for their captain, and they need to do it without their captain.
For Buffalo, speaking of that, the fact that they scored 8 is incredible. They have been awful to begin the season. Remember, after that first game, there was a video of some guy who was following his buddy, and he was in a Sabres jersey after the home opener. He was saying, the last time that they made it in, I was on a kid and I was at Disney World. And I'm like, okay, it's game one. This is what Buffalo is not anywhere near anything right now. So just deal with it and go on. But that's what the Sens certainly will have to do. So look, they're allowing Ottawa is 2.73 goals per game. It's lower than last season. It was almost at three, but not the the 8 goals. That certainly doesn't help things going forward for Ottawa. But that's a huge loss.
They need to bounce back. They need to bounce back now. And I think they have Seattle coming up. They have the Kraken, and then they have the Islanders. Yeah. These are two very winnable games. Get yourself back on track, but you better do this in a hurry. And you can't feel the Brady loss that hard, because it looked like it. It looked like they were really missing him last night.
Yeah, and you make a great point about he's not just a great player, but he's arguably the heart and soul of that team, right? And how he goes as the rest of the team goes. Again, we're early on in the season. We're just trying to look at different things. One of the things are the New York Rangers and how they can't seem to score at home. Is MSG bad for the Rangers and their health right now? Possibly is, Vic, because look, you love the home. You love it, don't you? The crack research team we have on the show came up with that this morning. You love to go home and score. MSG, one of the most storied buildings in all of sports, not just hockey, all of sports. But the home cooking, Vic, for whatever reason. I saw the other night JT Miller saying, look, okay, we can say what you want about the lack of goals at home. That's fine. But I'll be honest, this is him, I'm paraphrasing, but he said, I like the things that we've done. I like how we played. The goals are going to come. Thank goodness the team can score on the road, at least for the time being.
There isn't much I enjoy more than early season hysteria. I love it. It's just, it's palpable. There's just something special about it this time of year. They have played 3 games at home so far, and they stunk against the Penguins. I'm not going to make any excuses. But then Charlie Lindgren for the Washington Capitals was outstanding in that game, or else they win. Stuart Skinner looked like the version of Stuart Skinner Edmonton Oilers fans want to see on a daily basis. He was incredible. It's one of those guys. It's 3 games. They stunk for one. They ran into 2 incredibly hot goalies after that.
Yeah.
Let's see. They host next because they're on the road for a little bit. I think they're in Toronto and then Montreal.
Yep.
They're back home next week to face the Wild, see how they fare against Minnesota. And then they play the Sharks after that, Ryan. Mm. This ship is going to set itself straight soon enough. I like how the Rangers have played this year. They look like a playoff team again. Their goaltending has been fantastic as well. Yep. Rangers are fine.
They are fine. And there is a difference with this team. And I think, too, you got all these 32 teams in the National Hockey League that want to go in, and the ultimate goal is to win the Cup. A lot of teams, certainly a lot closer than others. But for the Rangers, I think they have more of a point to prove this season. They look back to last year and think that was a debacle. On and off the ice, it was a joke when it comes to the Rangers being one of the more elite teams in the game. So they have a lot more to prove, I think, than a lot of the other teams now in the National Hockey League. I remember, and you do this as well, certainly when last season when the Dallas Stars and that whole thing with Jay Gottinger, and he was pulled by Pete DeBoer, and how that didn't end well. It certainly didn't end well for Pete DeBoer. Losing his job out of that one. I try not to put myself in the shoes of athletes who go through something like that. And I put myself in the skates of Jay Gottinger when that did happen. I remember part of that video when there was the camera behind Ottinger as he was coming from the bench to the net. And all of a sudden he turned around. Some of his teammates were looking, and then he went off, and that was the end of that. I give him a ton of credit. He opened up not too long ago about how tough that was. And you and I both saw it. We both agreed, that sucked. For him, it was a terrible look. But I give him a ton of credit for how he's come into the season. And for the Dallas Stars, again, you want to talk about what Tkachuk means in Ottawa? Jay Gottinger, as good as Dallas is and all the players they have, they will only go as far, I believe, and they go far a lot, as Jay Gottinger will take.
You actually cut out there for me for a little bit, but I'm going to guess at what you're saying, that Jake Oettinger has played really well to start the season. Is that we're at here?
Pretty much what I was saying. And I said, you know me. I did say that they're going to go as good as Dallas is outside of the crease. They're going to go as far as Jake Oettinger will take them. A healthy, happy, mentally stable, and content Jake Oettinger.
And he looks that way for sure.
He does.
So far. And the Dallas Stars are a perfect 3-0. And I'm done with saying it's still early. Everybody knows what the date on the calendar is. Everybody knows how many games we played. But we're still going to talk about stuff. Whether it's 1 game, 5 games, 15 games, 3 games, it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
Yes, it's early. It's 3-0. Okay. And they have been impressive so far. And he's been impressive. And you like the Stars altogether. You don't just appreciate what Oettinger is doing.
No.
You've got a little bit of a crush on a couple of players with that squad right now.
You know what? My list is increasing quite a bit, right? Like it's
gone. I like them too.
Yeah. Harley on the back end. I don't know. It's just like the whole story about the Four Nations, nobody will ever, for number one, no one's ever going to forget the Four Nations tournament. That is amazing. Hopefully can't wait for the next one, whenever that is. But Harley, you know, he was the one, speaking of video, I remember at practice, he was off the ice in the back, not even chained. Next thing he comes on the ice and he this and this, and then he just blossoms. He takes off. I, to be honest, and this is with all due respect, I didn't pay a lot of attention to him. I didn't really know who he was. I mm-hmm. didn't know his game very much. And then he was thrust into the spotlight and he just continues to do it. He is tearing it up right now for Dallas, and you will only win in this league if you have a number one defenseman, if you are healthy enough and certainly in a great spot to have a number one center, a great play top forward, and then if you have a number one goaltender, one of the best in the game. And right now, Dallas has all of those pieces in place.
They not only have Harley on the back end, they have Miro Heiskanen. We can't forget. And like Esa Lindell and all these other contributors as well. It's a very, very well-balanced team. I was a little bit more familiar with Thomas Harley because he was such a great fantasy surprise.
He was one of those guys who slid under the radar.
And then I had to figure out, okay, what's going on over here in Dallas with this kid doing what he's doing last year and even beforehand. So it's been neat to see his evolution a little bit, but he is definitely a driving force. People are already starting to whisper about Norris. And I always find that hilarious because we decide in October who's going to win all the trophies. And for the most part, we're usually wrong. But right now, I mean, he's definitely in. If he continues to play the way he's playing right now, he's definitely going to be in the conversation. There's no doubt about that.
That whole division, again, it's going to be one to reckon with when it comes to one of the top divisions in all of hockey, as it's been for a very long time. Winnipeg, Colorado, Dallas, take your pick of those three. More than likely, those three will be in the top in that division when all is said and done. The Utah Mammoth, you want to talk a bit about this. And look at this here. This was for you. Utah hoping to take mammoth strides this season. Not only do you like the team, but that mascot has caught your attention, Victoria.
I love Tusky. I have to admit.
You do.
I love Tusky. Tusky is perfect. When they rolled Tusky out, I said, there we go. Somebody nailed this one. So Tusky, if you can picture it, is a 6'5" blue mammoth.
Yes.
With tusks.
Mm-hmm.
But what I love about Tusky is has not menacing expression, but a very serious competitive expression in Tusky's eyes. I'm still not sure if Tusky is male or female, so I'm just going to say they in their eyes.
Okay.
But has a really cute snout, and it all just comes together.
Wow.
Here's the thing. Mascots.
You've done a deep dive into this.
I've checked out several photos of Tusky. Okay. I'm very impressed.
Yeah. Yeah.
Mascots are for kids.
Mm-hmm.
And I know some adults, we can appreciate them as well. But unless you have an outlier like a Gritty or, you know, the Philadelphia baseball guy, you know, one of those like special fellas, the Fanatic, they're for kids. Utah is going to sell a gazillion stuffies of Tusky. Somebody made a very, very, very good decision there. It's not too cutesy, but not too menacing either. You have to straddle that line when it comes to a sporting mascot, and they've done that beautifully.
And for the whole team,
team's good too.
Yeah. Right. Okay. Yeah. It makes sense. Tusks up, right? Like that's the rallying cry, and then you have that. I actually read too a bit on the tusk and a bit more on him or her. 6'5". That's an incredibly large mascot. But the purple mohawk he has, or the blue mohawk he has, or something, that may change from what I gather over the course of the year. So I don't know. Maybe it'll change to
pink at one
point.
The package is fantastic. And the package on the ice is fantastic as well. If you're watching Utah to start the season, first of all, two thumbs up to Vemelka. There's a ton of pressure on him this season. He's performed beautifully so far. And this team is fun to watch. I watched them last night again. They've just got, I don't want to oversimplify matters, but man, oh man, do they have pep in their step. They move the puck really well. They're all on the same page. Now with bringing in a couple of vets like they did in the offseason, and in addition to all that, developing youth. It looks like Tanev is just a nice fit. I just like how it's all coming together a little bit now.
Yeah.
And I think this is going to definitely, like I said to start the season, I don't know if they're playoff bound or not, but I think they're going to be noisy. And I think they're going to be in the conversation later in the year.
What I love most about this team is that they have stability in ownership, and
makes such a difference, Ryan. You're so bang on with that.
Stable off the ice, because we can go into all the details about the product on the ice, but if you don't have stability off the ice, whatever organization in whatever league, it's not going to be conducive to a winning franchise. So good on them, Ryan Smith, and everybody else involved in that. Let's move on again. Don't forget, coming up in just a little bit, Siobhan Nolan will join us, and we'll talk about the Philadelphia Flyers. I'm on fire with these fonts today, and I'm trying to get this one. There we go. What about that? Are things already Canucked in Vancouver? This was a team kind of like the Rangers, and they were involved in different things over the years, over the year last year. One of those situations that just didn't work out for a lot of guys. And we're still waiting from what I last saw, and I could be wrong, but I think I'm right. We're still waiting for Elias Pettersson, Vic, to finally find the twine for Vancouver. One of the things that stood out for me in the slow start, again, it's still not deep into the season. I didn't say early just because of you. Still not deep into the season. They have registered in the past two first periods 12 combined shots. I don't care what team you face. If you have on average six shots in the first frame of the last couple of games, you're not going to win a hockey game.
That sure, that's pissy, but it also starts with their number one center. And what I'm sick and tired, I have been rooting for number 40 for ages. He's too good of a player to be performing the way he has over and over and over again. And now to hear to start this season, he's one shot, no points.
Yep.
Through three games so far, he's already saying, I need to be better. We heard that song. We watched that dance last year.
Time and time again.
Over and over and over again. Yep. Buddy, you had months to figure this out. You said all the right things in training camp. And now this is a carbon copy pissy performance from last year. I'm losing patience. Did you hear Yannick Hansen on air with the Sportsnet station the other day?
No, what
said
do you say?
Same thing. Said, doesn't matter what DeBrusk does. Doesn't matter what Brock Besser does. Doesn't matter how well the defense plays, goaltending, whatever. If you do not have a number one center performing to a number one center's ability, you are not doing anything in this league. Nothing. No. This, I'm sorry, this hangs on him. Everybody else needs to be better too. But again, you talk about those individuals that drive it, and he needs to be that guy. He got his way. JT Miller is gone. This is his team. Okay. So, I mean, pull yourself together, bud, and figure this out. You're too good to be this. Shoot the puck.
Ugh. What did Gretzky say? You miss all the shots. All the shots.
He never said
take.
That, by the way. But he's reputed to have said it.
I will maintain this, and hopefully Pettersson turns it around. But I think they made the wrong decision. They made the wrong decision who they dealt last season. I really do, and I just think he is one unhappy. I'm not making excuses. He is not a happy person in Vancouver. He needs to turn this thing around in a big way, not just for himself, as you mentioned quite well, but also for the team in general. Two more before we and then we're tied in with Montreal.
I'm all frustrated now. It's almost like putting me in a bad mood talking about him because he should be so much better than he is. Okay.
I know. I didn't really lead you into that. You kind of just took it and off you. Well, I kind of did. Yeah, I did. Anyway, my apologies. I love these new contracts that some of these stars and up-and-comers and stars for the future are taking and are signing. Team-friendly, and this was another team-friendly deal by Lane Hutson from Montreal. Love the way this guy plays. 8-year extension, $70.8 million. Again, a lot of these contracts now, front-loaded in signing bonuses, 55 of the 70.8 will be in signing bonuses. The key number in all that, number one, the whole number, 70.8, but the key number is 8.85. So he is locked in, Vic, at 8.85, a bargain based on the ceiling for this guy. He's almost hit it already. That's just how big it is. He's locked in through 2033, 2034.
If Hutson is even 80% of what we expect him to be, in 6-7 years' time, this is going to be the biggest bargain in the NHL.
Yeah, agreed.
I'm not often find myself in a position to question what a player is deciding to do, what their agent is brokering, however it's working out, because they know what's best for them and they can make the decisions that suit them, whether you want to go short term and you want to gamble on yourself, you want to go long term. This one makes no sense to me. If he was going to go long term to play until he's 29 years old, I can understand this deal for 5 years and then you're in your prime 26, 27, and that's when you're going to cash in large with the cap going up incrementally, right? But now I'm really surprised this is taking him to 29. He could have gotten 10, Ryan. It's not like anybody wasn't going to pay 10. And you're like, what's the big difference between 8.87 and 10? It's more than a million a year. Now you're talking $9 million. Give me my $9 million.
But that's also money that Montreal can still have in order to find other pieces in place.
This fresh altruism in the league is just it's something I need to get used to a little bit, because as of like
a couple years ago, you're so against it.
I'm not against it. I like a team friendly deal. I do like one. This just feels extreme to me. I think $10 million would have been a team friendly deal.
Yeah.
So now we're putting pressure on these players to help the team out going forward by taking lesser money than what they deserve. It's a bit weird.
I think that is what maybe the future of this game is. And I really do hope, again, I would, yeah, if somebody offered you 10, you'd take it. If someone offered you 8.85 and not 10, you'd probably take that. But if you think about it, the guy wants to win. I'm all about it. Go back to the McDavid thing.
But McDavid signed for 2 years, Ryan. He signed for two. This guy signed until almost, he's 30 years old.
He's got the capability with Montreal cap going up. He firmly believes, I think, that this team is on the path to winning, and he's going to be part of that thing. So, yeah.
Good for him. Right.
It's going
Good
to be one of the greatest bargains in the history of hockey. Last one. They do everything so good in Montreal. And as you said off the top of the show, they started a long, long, long time ago. Ken Dryden passed away recently, one of the legends of the game, legends in hockey, legend for the Montreal Canadiens. And I will never forget, number one, there's one picture I'll never forget of him. It's when he's standing in his crease, at the big, long, the arm up here, the stick up here, head on that, and he had that iconic mask. But what they did in Montreal, in case you haven't seen it, go online, watch it. You will get chills. The spotlight on his mask, on I believe in the top left part of the net, resting on it, and the ovation was just incredible. Vic, I even get chills right now thinking about it.
It was quite a moment. I wasn't quite expecting how heavy it was going to feel, and heavy isn't even the right word. How meaningful
I know
it
what
was
going
to feel.
Yeah,
and even a legend outside the game, we have to mention that, just what he's accomplished in politics and as an author and just right across the board, also an altruistic individual. He was somebody special. I had the privilege of meeting him once for a couple of hours. I had dinner with him. He lived up to expectations. People say don't meet your heroes. Sometimes you can, because he did not disappoint.
Well said. One of the greatest, and he will never, ever be forgotten. And again, hats off to you, Montreal. Pure class, as always. Now, Siobhan Nolan is next, and we'll talk Philly. We'll dive into the Flyers and go 77 seconds in with Siobhan as well. Pucks and Seven, Ryan Payne, Victoria Mattiash, presented by Rogue Sports.
Welcome back to Pucks and Seven with Ryan Payton and Victoria Mattiash.
You know the word savant, right? You hear about that quite a bit when it comes to, I don't know, chess. And that kind of means, I know, look at Victoria, where am I going with this? Just wait, you'll get it in 1 second.
It's always a surprise.
I know, it's always a surprise when we have guests. But it basically means that you're really talented at, say, one specific thing, even though you're talented in many others. Well, our next guest, I will say, is a savant covering the NHL and the Philadelphia Flyers, Siobhan Nolan joining us here. How was that? Was that good?
I was wondering where you were going with that. And I have to say, I do like the destination we ended up
okay,
at, for
good.
Sure.
Yeah, well, you're not here every week. Yeah. But yeah.
Every time I do this with Victoria, she just puts her head down.
Four
thinking,
years running,
where am I
Siobhan,
going?
4 years running.
Anyway. Siobhan Nolan joining us here of the Hockey News, covering the Philadelphia Flyers. Good to have you on. We appreciate this. We'll go 77 seconds in with you in just a bit. A lot of fun with that final segment within the segment. Let's begin. So much to talk about with the Flyers this season. Let's get right into it. And the reasonable expectations, let's put the whole season in a bubble right now, put a wrap on it. Going in for you, what was your reasonable expectation for this team?
My expectation was always that under Rick Tocchet, and the fact that they got, you know, guys like Trevor Zegras, we had got Dan Vladar, Christian Dvorak in the offseason, it was very clear that they were, you know, we're moving into a space in the rebuild where we're adding people and not subtracting guys anymore. And Danny Briere made that very clear at the end of the season. He's like, I think we kind of hit our quote unquote rock bottom point, and so we're only going up from here. Now, Keith Jones and Dan Hilferty did specify, they're like, we're not measuring success by playoff appearance yet. It's very much, you know, we're still just trying to create a new team, a new identity. They do see Tocchet as like a long-term option, whereas Torts was always kind of the, you know, the shorter term to get the rebuild
going. The
bridge
guy, bridge the gap.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. And so now that they have Tocchet and, you know, everyone's really bought in, playoffs is still not, you know, a lock yet, but I think they can definitely make a good push for it. I wouldn't be surprised if maybe they were to sneak in, depending on how other Metro teams do. But the real important thing is to just get everyone to buy into this new culture, new system, just really get used to doing things under Tocket and not rebranding essentially, because, you know, they're still committed to this idea of, okay, you know, we're recommitting to the Flyers identity, you know, we want everyone all in, but they're moving on to that new phase of, okay, we're not in that, you know, dirty part of the rebuild. We're actually getting to the part where we can like,
good way of putting it.
Yeah.
It's a good way of putting it. I want to dive into Tocket versus Tortorella a little bit more, but first I want to ask you, I read your piece in the Hockey News the other day. What if the Flyers leaned into skill instead of size?
Yeah.
On the blue line.
Yeah.
Get into that. Why do you think that there's an advantage to taking, you know, more from what they're capable of doing as opposed to what more they're physically bringing?
Yeah, like we have a lot of physical guys, you know, there's, you have your Nick DeLoria and your Garnet Hathaways on the offense. And then Rasmus Ristolainen is still out hurt, but when he's healthy, he's a good, you know, physical bruising defenseman. Nick Seeler is kind of that same way. He's really good at blocking shots too.
Yes, he is. He's the best in the biz at blocking shots.
How he's still like walking is beyond me. But, you know, we do have some smaller guys on the defense. There's Cam York. He's 6 foot, about like 200 or so pounds. So he's not like tiny, but they really love the like 6'3", 6'4", like classic physical hard-nosed defenseman type of guys. And it's a bit of like a, you know, it's kind of hard for them to be like, okay, well, we have Cam York and Jamie Drysdale in the top four, and they're very offensively minded, and they love moving the puck, and they love getting involved on the offense, and they're great power play guys. And they have a guy who just got recently sent down to Lehigh Valley, Emil Andre, who he's small. He's like 5'9", about 180, 185. And he's also very offensively minded. So the thinking was, okay, if we have all three of those guys, York, Drysdale, Andre, it's going to be way too small of a defense line. And that's not what they really wanted for the blue line right now. The problem is then you have, you know, guys like Igor Zamula, Noah Juulsen, who just haven't looked that great so far in the season. And it gets to a point where you're like, okay, they have the size and they have the physical capabilities, but it kind of hinders you when the skill isn't completely there. So I thought, you know, it was kind of interesting to examine the pros and cons of, you know, having, okay, it's not as physically imposing, you know, they're not going to be hitting guys up against the boards, but they're going to be able to move that puck and they're going to be able to create more offense from the back. So it's kind of give and take, but it's just an interesting situation that they have where, you know, a guy like Emil Andre has so much skill and he's very much an NHL defenseman, but he's still in that like AHL, NHL kind of back and forth situation. Because, you know, it's really his size that's working against him. So it's an interesting thing that I'm sure we'll see play out throughout the season.
Getting back to what Vic was alluding to about Tocket and Tortorella, John Tortorella will go down in history as one of the most unique, and you can insert word instead of unique, coaches.
I like him.
Certainly you're either yes or you're no. I don't know if there's any middle ground with him, but let's just leave it at that. My point is, early on, though, training camp and into this season, what are some of the differences or the things that Rick Tocket brings that John Tortorella did not? Is there a difference, especially between how he is teaching or guiding, an example, a guy like Michkov, when you know what happened with Tortorella and Michkov, they didn't see eye to eye. But is there a difference in how he approaches this?
There definitely is. Tocket has really emphasized that he wants him and the rest of his coaching staff to be teachers. You know, Tocket is out on the ice and he's getting involved in every single one of the drills. And, you know, Travis Konecny made a joke on a YouTube video that the Flyers did. He's like, I still think he kind of wants to be a player sometimes, the way that he gets out there and gets involved. Yeah. And you know, Torts obviously was on the ice too and everything. But I do think the big difference is not only was Tocket an NHL player and a good NHL player, he was a Flyer. And that is such a unique experience to be a Philadelphia Flyer, that to have a coach that truly understands what it means, because, you know, Tocket was such an important player in the city when he was with Philly. I think the guys, you know, that resonates a lot more with them rather than Torts, who didn't play in the NHL. And that's not to take away from his coaching at all, but I do think it helps with the Flyers, essentially, to have a guy who's like, I've played in this city, I've played for these fans, and I was, you know, good. So yeah. it really does help. And obviously, no coach is going to be exactly like Torts. I think any coach they would have hired was going to be a very contrasting style. But Tockett's very laid back. He's very chill. You know, when we're talking to him in press conferences, you just feel like you're having a conversation with him. Mm-hmm. So it's a lot more just relaxed in that way. You know, Torts, sometimes he loved talking to the media, other times he didn't. You never really knew what you were going to get. But with Tockett, he's just like, yeah, you know, I'll, you know, give my evaluation. And he gives guys a lot more grace as well. Like, you know, Torts would tell you exactly what he thought about a guy's performance. With Tockett, yeah, he's a little more like, yeah, he was okay, but we can work on X, Y, Z. It's not as like...
Mm-hmm. A softer touch. Yes.
Very it's much a softer so, yeah. touch.
Right.
Yeah. For sure.
Right. First impressions, Trevor Zegras, what do you think?
I think there's a lot of potential there. I think he's still kind of getting comfortable within the team and just kind of finding who he has chemistry with. He's been really good with Michkov. Those two are like best buds. Like they're always staying out after mm-hmm. practice together. Like, you know, 20-25 minutes after everyone else gets off. Yeah. But no, he's a great guy in the locker room. You know, people love him there, and he's been having a lot of fun on the ice. Like you can already see he's making all these, you know, crazy creative passes, and he's just kind of, I think, finding his way in the offense. They want him to play more at center than at wing. So that's kind of a transition that he's making as well. He's trying to do better with faceoffs and everything. So I think there's still a lot that he has to figure out, but so far, I mean, he's showing the Trevor Zegras that we know and love, which is really cool to see.
How good can Michkov be? What's the ceiling on this guy?
I mean, I think the sky's the limit with him.
Yeah,
you know, he's so talented. Yeah, he's so talented, but he's also such a hard worker, mm-hmm. and he cares
makes
so
such
much
a difference.
About.
It really does.
Yeah. And for a guy that young, he's only 20, like turning 21 this year, mm-hmm. and he cares so much and he just wants the team to win. He's very team focused as well. Like when we ask him questions, you know, kind of wanting him to evaluate himself as an individual, his first instinct is to always go to the team. And we have to specify like, no, Matvei, like you, like what do you know, evaluate yourself? But he's always, he always goes team first, and he's team always first. Like, you know, I want the team to win. I want the team to do well. Like that matters a lot more to him than his own individual accomplishments. So I think that's a great mindset for him to have as a young guy. And, you know, his English is improving a lot. And, you know, Tockett mm-hmm. is working very closely with him. He does a lot of video with him. And Michkov initiates a lot of the video sessions. So, I mean, there's really no telling what he can do when he kind of finds a line that he can work with. I think, you know, it's just going to be like, it's going to be a lot of fun to see what he can do in the future.
That sounds very promising. So how about a little bit of straight talk right now? Ersin Vladar,
yeah.
is that going to cut it?
I mean, right now it's looking really good. I don't want to say surprised by Vladar because you knew he was a good goalie, but to see how quickly he's become comfortable and to see how well he's done against like a very, very good Florida Panthers team after the trauma of Philadelphia goaltending. You know, I think it's going to be really, you know, nice to see that Sam Ersin's going to get, you know, less of that workload that was kind of piled on top of him when, you know, he had to deal with all the rotating cast of characters as his backups. And I think Vladar's proven himself to be very capable. We just got Cam York reactivated off of IR. So I think there's more of a solid defense in front of them that kind of makes things a little safer. But right now, I mean, there's nothing but good things to say about the goaltending, which is nice change of pace for sure.
I saw a couple of stats from last year. At 5-on-5, they had a combined 890 save percentage. That was worst in the league since they began keeping that stat, I think, I don't know, 150 years ago, something like that. And then the other one was that they were 30th in the league on the power play at 15%. So say whatever you want, Siobhan, about goaltending and about youngsters like Michkov. If you're not special – on those special teams. I don't care how good of a team you are, you're not going to do that. So hopefully for Taka, that's going to change going forward. I want to get your thoughts quickly on the Metro outside of Philly. Right now it's Carolina, Washington, and New Jersey. Going into this division when it comes to this season, the Rangers didn't make it last year. They want to prove to everybody they're a playoff team. Number one, are they a playoff team? And kind of how do you see this Metro shaping up?
I mean, I feel the Metro is always like such a, you know, just chaos arena. Like you never really know who's going to be good. And then if someone starts good, they might, you know, take a deep dive at the end of the season. So it's definitely, for me, it's always hard to kind of predict because, you know, like, okay, Carolina is probably going to be really good. But when it comes to like Jersey and the Rangers and everything, I mean, Rangers are doing too hot at home right now. But I don't think that you can count anyone out. I think the Rangers absolutely could be a playoff team. You know, I don't doubt that at all. But for me, I'm always like, I always kind of never want to make predictions because I'm like, I know that, you know, I could be proven completely and utterly
wrong
by the end of the season. Yeah. With the Metro, it's just like, you never really know. Like teams could just have a randomly like amazing year and other teams could have a completely disappointing one. So it's always like, it's always entertaining to watch for sure. A little stressful because, you know, it's the Flyers division, but definitely not boring for sure.
Want to do one more, Vic, before we do the 77 seconds?
Yeah, let's do league-wide, Siobhan. I know we have to keep on throwing out the caveat. We're only a week and a half in. We're only, you know, but anyways, we're dealing with what we have. A biggest surprise, league-wide, anything that's going on, whether it's an individual or a team or a record, something that has you going, huh, didn't see that coming even early on.
I mean, the amount of big players that have gotten injured is like blowing my mind. Yeah, like Barkov, both Tkachuk brothers. Yeah. I mean, it's insane to me how early on, and these are like pretty, they sound pretty like significant too, in terms of like timeout. So to have that happen so early in the season, to have like those stars, you know, not available, I was kind of surprised at just how it seemed like every day there was another like, oh, hey, this important player is out injured for, you know, 4 months or whatever. So that's definitely what's been a, catching me off guard so far.
The Panthers, it's okay. Bill Zito will find a way to sign everybody at the deadline.
Yes, exactly.
And then go for another play.
Not too worried about them.
Not too worried. They'll be fine. They'll be fine. Okay. Let's get into 77 seconds. Already briefed her, Vic. Right. It was very quick.
Yep.
No timer. This is fun. So here we go. So it says on your X or your Twitter account, I still say Twitter, but let's say X, you're over caffeinated. How many cups of coffee or how much caffeine is that per day?
On a game day, I could drink anywhere from like 6 to 8 cups of coffee.
Oh, my.
Really?
It's not good.
You are over-caffeinated.
I am. And there's a Dunkin' right by the Flyers Training Center. And they see a lot of me. They see a lot of me. I do have a lot of rewards points there.
Do you?
Yeah. And the press box coffee is not bad either. So.
How do you take it? About... Quick bonus. How do you take it?
I do iced coffee. I'm an iced coffee girl. Right. Okay. I always do oat milk and then some like vanilla or like pumpkin. Like I love a seasonal flavor. So right now I'm doing pumpkin, but like I usually go vanilla is like a good baseline for me.
Boy, you just must be hopping out of your skin when you're halfway.
You know, well, I think I'm a little used to it right now. There's a little too much difference.
Yeah. Your baseline is
well, you know,
definitely
you know where
mine.
She is right now. She is in the line for Dunkin'. That's where she is right now. She's,
right.
Yeah.
No, I am going to get Dunkin' right.
There you go.
Yeah.
One fun fact about LaSalle University.
Our campus is only about like 1 square mile, but it's in the shape of Florida.
That's a very fun
I
fact.
Did not know
I'm
that.
Not really sure why, but it is. It's in the shape
we
of
learned,
Florida.
We learned something new today. We always
exactly.
learn something
we
new
do.
In 77
yeah.
seconds.
Yeah.
Something this that is, you just would never think about otherwise.
No, it's one reason why we do this, just to get to know our guests. Okay, moving on. Most entertaining, you can describe that in however you want, member of the Flyers. Who's most kind of the most fun person to be around?
I mean, it's a great locker room that they have. I got to go Travis Konecny, though. He's consistently hilarious.
Okay.
He's always saying something out of pocket or he's always joking around and like getting in on other guys' interviews, trying to like make them laugh. So he's a lot of fun to be around.
Your coolest moment interning at NBC?
Oh, I got to work
or
really
something
closely.
That stands out.
Yeah, I got to work really closely with Ashlyn Sullivan and Scott Hartnell and Al Morganti, who do the pre and post game show. Cause,
cool.
I did it for like broadcasting because, you know, I'd love to do TV stuff. So I got to be really close with them and shadow them a lot. And that was just like a super cool, like starstruck moment for me. And it's cool because I still get to see them around a lot. But that was definitely like, oh, my God, you know, highlight of my whole year when I interned there.
Oh, I get it. I get it.
There's always one, right? There's always that one first moment you remember. Dream athlete doesn't have to be hockey. Dream athlete interview.
I'm a big soccer fan. And he's retired now, but my favorite Arsenal player of all time is Mesut Ozil. Mm. And it would be like an absolute dream if I got to interview him. That would be like highlight of my whole entire life.
Amazing.
Could happen. You got to make it happen somehow. Have a topic to talk to him about.
I know.
You got to work that out. You got time. I know you said no predictions. We're forcing you anyways. Who wins the Stanley Cup this year? We won't hold you to it.
I would not be surprised if Florida three-peated, but I want to go somewhere different, though, because I want a different team to win it. Because I feel like it's not fun when the same team wins every time. I think Colorado's
throw it out
got
there,
a good chance.
Throw it out there.
I'm going to go Colorado. Okay. I think they've got a good shot.
Last one. Before we let you go, we appreciate this and looking forward to doing it again. What is Gritty really like?
Oh God, it's actually really funny because I've interacted a few times with the person inside the Gritty suit, which is a very weird experience. But Gritty is just he's everything that you think he is. It's just pure chaos, letting all of the intrusive thoughts win. It's very funny because we'll see him like practice all of his shenanigans before a game when we're just kind of up in the press box, like before all the fans get let in. You know, they're throwing the cakes and they're testing, you know, the kind of pregame sequence that he does to hype up the crowd. But yeah, it's very just pure chaos. You never know what he's going to do. You never know how he's going to like interact with you. Like sometimes he'll just stare you down or he'll come over and give you like a hug or something. And you just never know what you're going to get, but you know, it's going to be
unpredictable.
Fun. Very much so. Yeah.
He's full of emotions. Full of emotion. Mm-hmm. He's one of the best. One of the best mascots, not just in hockey, but in sports.
Sure.
Siobhan, this has been great. First time doing this with you. We'll let you go. Grab yourself a coffee. And looking forward to having you back on.
This has been Pucks in 7, available on the SiriusXM app and wherever you get your podcasts.
This has been Pucks in 7, available on the SiriusXM app and wherever you get your podcasts.